Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
But he's too buff to be real!
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with author Neil Cohen. He has a fantastic zombie trilogy out, Exit Zero trilogy. You got Exit Zero, Nuke Jersey and Zombie Democracy. I've read the summary of each book and we talk more in depth about them here without many small spoilers, so don't worry. And they really do sound like an awesome read, so I'll definitely get in a copy ASAP. We then talk about his latest book, Business is Dead, Resurrecting Entrepreneurship, and his whole ethos of fantrepreneurship and how to make something you love into your business. So let's go straight into the interview. Without any further ado, here's myself interviewing Neil Cohen.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys and welcome back to the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am here with Neil Cohen. Neil, how's it going?
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
No, we really, really do appreciate it. It's fantastic to get you on. We're here to talk about a couple of things, mainly your Exit Zero trilogy with your awesome three fiction books. And then we got Business is Dead as well, which is your brand new book. But first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into sort of writing all about zombies?
Well, you know, it started out, I never wanted to write a book. I really honestly never wanted to read a book.
Wow.
I just had a story to tell. I am a zombie fanatic. Always have been. Love the genre. But I had a bunch of problems with a lot of the different movies where I felt and the books where they left big portions of the story untold.
Yeah.
And I wanted to address those. I always felt that it starts out, whether it's a movie or a book, the zombie apocalypse begins. And there's not quite sure what's happening. There's something happening. Some people think, it's you're imagining it. Other people think it's the flu. Some people think it's a hoax. And then it starts getting more and more. And then finally, it's a full grown, no one can deny it. It is the zombie apocalypse.
Nice.
And that's the part of the story I love, where it doesn't have to be absolute thousands of zombies ripping people apart, but it's that something is going on and we're not quite sure what it is. And the tension and the how would a normal people deal with that issue? And then the movies always just jump. And the next thing you know, it is like there's 1,000 zombies, they're in the mall, or it's 2 years later and it's apocalyptic wasteland and everybody is either a psychopathic killer or a zombie killing ninja. And I'm like, what the hell happened to everybody else?
Yeah. Where's, you know, the normal where people?
Exactly. Well, that's it. You know, did everybody die? Is everybody gone? You know, where are they? Where's the salesmen and where's the podcasters and where's the carpenters and everything? Like, I want to hear those stories. I want to know what happened to them in the days following, and no one addresses it. And I think that's the most interesting aspect.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to take my approach from.
Awesome. That sounds great. And you're right. It is looking at a zombie story at a completely different viewpoint, really, isn't it? What does happen to the normal Joe Bloggs and the person that works in the cafe? Yeah, it's a great way to think about it. I understand that. So it's obviously a trilogy. You got Exit Zero, Nuke Jersey, and Zombie Democracy. Exit Zero is sort of like that first 24 hours of the zombie apocalypse, isn't it?
Exactly. So in my storyline, I never have society and the government fall. It teeters, but it never falls. Because honestly, I don't think it would. I have been in the defense industry for 20 years. My background and what I've been doing business in is chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear.
Wow.
And I have been given a great amount of exposure to people who are involved in this type of world. People from World Health Organization, CDC, NATO, and everybody loves talking about this concept. And I've always approached people and said, tell me your vision based on military exercise, based on research, of the most likely scenario that would create a zombie-like virus. And I've incorporated that into my book. I also said, how would they deal with it? How would the military, how would first responders, how would the medical, how would people deal with it? And that is incorporated into the book. So in mind, there is nothing magical. There's no supernatural. There is no reanimated corpses. Everybody in my book is a living infected person. And I put the virus together in a way that it could happen. There is nothing in my book that is impossible. Now, improbable, yes, but not impossible. It is based on fact. It is based on science. So they are basically addicted, not much different than people that have either like a combination of addiction to crack and Alzheimer's. And this is a real scenario of which could happen. But I do want to stress, I don't get heavily into the science that, oh my God, I'm reading a textbook here. Yeah. I wanted it to be more Shaun of the Dead than Dawn of the Dead. Mine is very humorous. That's why I said it, New Jersey. Now,
well, yeah,
I know
that was my next question. Why New Jersey?
Well, okay, and you'll have to, first of all, I am an Anglophile. I love the UK. I love Britain. I love London. My mother was from London. All my family, my extended family, not my wife and everything, but my extended family were from London. So I've always had this fascination with the British. And so you'll have to give me an example of what would be a comparable city, town, region in the UK. But New Jersey in the United States, if those are not familiar with it, is a character within itself. It is often voted the most rude state, and they are not really rude. It's just kind of the personality. When you grow up in New Jersey, as I did, it is in your DNA. You can't scrub it off you. It is a personality type that is just over the top, loud, obnoxious, a lot of hand movement when you're talking, a lot of every third word is a curse word. Even if you're a nun, you're a curse word. Brawls end most parties or nights at the bar. So that's New Jersey. A lot of toxic waste dumps, a lot of corrupt politicians. It is just the ripe place.
Yeah. Perfect for this book. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. And I wanted the location to be a character in the book. And New Jersey is that. What would you say? Let me ask you, UK, coming from the UK, what would be a comparable city region, do you think, if with those descriptions?
I mean, I would probably say East London. I'm a Midlander, so I stick to the middle quite regularly, but I have travelled around the UK. I'd probably just say East London because, like you say, everyone is F this, F that, and you, C-U-N-T. It's a very, very curse word. They're very overall quite aggressive in their manner and their speaking to you. So I'd say, I might have my listeners message me now and go, what the hell are you talking about the wrong place, but I'd probably say East London. I'd definitely say that's
all right.
That's a good comparison.
cool.
So it sounds like a perfect place, really. It's spot on.
And that's why I wanted it to be kind of, think of The Walking Dead if you're a fan, but only funnier, faster, and of course in New Jersey. I did not want a depressing zombie novel. I wanted something more realistic of regular people dealing with zombies in a strange situation. And in so the first book, you're right, it's the very beginning of the zombie apocalypse. Very beginning. Starts with something's happening to, we all know something's happening.
Yeah.
In book two, which is Nuke Jersey, the virus has spread nationwide. I'm sorry. The virus is known. Everybody knows that it is now a zombie virus.
Okay.
So the nation has sealed off New Jersey and basically trying to stem the virus. And the rest of the country is kind of like, well, screw it. It's New Jersey. Just wipe them out. You know, who cares? Let's see. We got to protect the rest of the country. But the president is actually running the country out of New Jersey in an attempt to say we have things under control.
Right. Okay.
So. But obviously they don't.
No.
In the third book, the virus has spread nationwide, but the country hasn't fallen. Society hasn't fallen. It's just that now there's one more thing out there that can kill you every day.
Right. Okay. So the whole country hasn't gone into a mass panic as such, and people aren't on rations and looting shops or anything like that. It's just that there's another thing out there that can pretty much kill you.
Exactly. It's like anything else. How would you deal with a, you know, an outbreak? Look what we have going on right now. We have the coronavirus.
Well, of course, yeah.
People are not stopping their lives.
No. It,
even if this thing spreads broader. And I actually, because I do have some contacts, I talked to them about this. And they said, look, you know, this is all headlines. The prediction is maybe, you know, we'll get to a couple thousand and then it's going to peter out. Don't worry about it. This isn't SARS. But anyway.
Okay.
So, but life goes on. And that's what I tried to do in my book, that you still have to wake up. You still have to go to work. You still have to go to dinner. You still have to go on dates. You just now have to take more precautions because there's zombies everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You can't stop the world purely for that one reason, can you? It's just you're going to have to carry on as much as you can and just make sure that no zombies bite you.
Exactly. And listen, you know, that's what life is like anyway. No matter what precautions you put in place, there's always danger lurking. A drunk driver, a falling branch, cancer. You know, there's always, every day you walk out the door, something could kill you. So you take a little extra caution. You keep aware, you know. But now you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of zombies. You know what? You adjust your life a little bit. You figure out how to deal with it. And that's how they do. And in the third book, Zombie Democracy, they basically, it's the time for the first presidential election post zombie apocalypse, and each candidate has their own platform on how to deal with the zombie virus and the the infected. Yeah,
sweet. I mean, they sound like awesome stories, each in of themselves, and then obviously as a whole trilogy, it sounds like a whole package that I'm sure our listeners who love zombies and horror would love to read. And not only because it's a zombie book, but like you say, it's a very realistic style zombie book. So it's a little bit different to anything else we've seen.
Exactly. And I also want to stress, I have fans that people said, Neil, I hate zombies. I don't like zombies. And the horror genre itself is very delineated. You know, there's people that like slasher films. There's people that like gore. There's people that like more stylistic horror. And there's people like zombies. And I've had a lot of people tell me that, you know, they weren't zombie fans, but they love the book because, first of all, it's a characters. I put a lot of work into the characters. I put a lot of work into the, I call it pre-apocalyptic setting, about, you know, how people and governments would react in a mass pandemic situation and how they deal with it. There's a lot, like in mine, I'll tell you, you can't just go kill the zombies. They're still, like I said, they are not reanimated corpses. They are living infected. Just as you cannot go and kill someone who has a disease now,
of course.
In my books, you can't just go around killing zombies. It's against the law. They're still humans.
Right.
They still have rights. Yes, they are violently dangerous.
They're trying to eat you.
Exactly. You have to call the authorities. And so it creates this moral conundrum of, what do we do?
Yeah. And again, it's improbable, but it's possible, which just gives it a whole other aspect. Like, this could happen. This is scary, but it could.
Exactly.
Awesome. I mean, that sounds great. Exit Zero Trilogy. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to check those books out, I'll leave the links in our show notes below. But we also need to talk about your latest book, Neil, which is Business is Dead, Resurrecting Entrepreneurship. A different sort of style of book. Can you explain to us exactly what Business is Dead is all about?
Exactly. Thank you. So Business is Dead, Resurrecting Entrepreneurship is my first nonfiction book. So what this is over the years, I have been selling my trilogy. Well, not that many years, but the past 3 years, 4 years now, I've been selling my trilogy and I've been going out to cons and to conferences and to the book shows. And I've been meeting the other vendors and the artists, the authors, the creators, crafters. And they're fascinating because to me, they were almost like superheroes. They had this normal life. Perhaps they're an accountant. Perhaps they're working in sales or behind a counter somewhere. And then on weekends, they're dressing up in cosplay. Mm-hmm. Or at nights, they're crafting designs based on their passion for The Walking Dead or Supernatural or Game of Thrones or insert pop culture media here. And then they go out on the weekends and they sell, or they sell in the evenings online. So I said, you know, I was at a con and I grabbed the organizer. I said, you've got all these actors on stage during the panel sessions, you know, but they're actors. They're given lines. They're given roles. You know, it's fun to see them and all, but they don't really have much to say about the genre. Just because they're cast as a role in a horror movie or a superhero movie doesn't mean that they're necessarily fans of that genre.
Of course.
And they may not have much to talk even about that genre. And they're not even, I've seen people come up to my booth and go, oh my God, I waited 4 hours to talk to Joe Blow, who plays this character. And I wanted to hit him with my theories of the show or the genre or the universe around it. And he didn't even know what I was talking about. It was so disappointing. I'm like, hey man, look, he's an actor who booked a job.
That's what they're paid to do.
Exactly. I said, you want to talk to someone who's as passionate as you are about the genre, go to Artist Alley and talk to those people who are creating crafts about that genre. And so I said to this con organizer, I would like to bring them up on stage and interview them, five different vendors from five different, tracks of entrepreneurship within their fandom of The Walking Dead. And they said, well, we've never done that before, but let's give it a shot. The response was huge.
Nice.
And it just showed that there's not only did a lot of the vendors come because they wanted to hear people like themselves talking about how they're going about and approaching this, but so many attendees approached and came up to me afterwards and said, Neil, I've been attending cons or I've been attending premieres for so many years, and I want to do something based on my passion for this genre. Now, I use The Walking Dead as an example for my book. But the book isn't just about The Walking Dead. It's about any pop culture mm-hmm. fandom. And so I had many people saying, you know, I love The Walking Dead and I want to be part of the genre of The Walking Dead, but I'm not an artist. I'm not an author. What can I do? How can I get to where you are behind the stand, you know, doing business in this world versus just being a fan? And in my book, I outline 12 different business tracks that people of any skill level can follow to get into fandom. But those are just examples. There's hundreds.
Yeah.
But I want it's but the book is about passion, not profit, fandom, not income. It is, I want to be part of this pop culture genre that I am obsessed about. How do I do it? How do I come up with ideas to do it? And I tell everybody in the beginning of the book, look, this isn't about I'm miserable in my life. I want to quit my job and become rich. That's not why you become what I call a fantrepreneur. A fantrepreneur is someone who's a fan of something, starts a fan-based business, may go to a con or over the weekend, and we call them cons, I guess. I'm assuming you call them
yeah,
cons
we too. Do too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And if they have a booth and they spend the whole weekend talking to fellow obsessive fans, and maybe they sell two or three things, they're going to walk out and say, I had a great weekend. I had a great show. I loved it. I was sharing my passion with other people. I was surrounded by people with the same passion. If you're going in and saying, I have to sell this many, I have to make this much money, and then damn it, I didn't make my goals, then it's not a fantrepreneur. Then it's a job. Then it's a yeah. business of which it's no different than if you had a Subway franchise.
Of course, yeah. Sweet. So, I mean, this whole fantrepreneurship, did you sort of realize that there was a business track for the fantrepreneurs purely because of going to these cons, that you saw that there is sort of a space in the market here for these people to turn their passions into something, not just their passion at night and on the weekends, to make it their job, to make it their drive forwards? Was it the help of these cons and these seminars and such that basically drove you to write this book?
Exactly. Like I wouldn't even thought of this business world. Now, I'm a business development guy. So I have been doing trade shows for 30 years. But generally, the trade shows I do are industry shows where people are there representing a company. They are not individual entrepreneurs representing their passion. They are there at the show because they work for a company and everybody has seen it. If you haven't been to a trade show, you've seen one on TV where everybody's there in the big booth and you got the booth bunnies or booth babes. Sometimes they're called crowd gatherers, you know, waving people in, then everybody's selling their wares. I'm used to that world. This was Artist Alley. This was Author Hall, or sometimes they call it like Author Way. This were people, individuals who were there based on their passion. Now, there's other vendors there too. There's people that sell t-shirts and there's people that sell pops. And they're great too, but they're more entrepreneurs because if I'm at a horror con and I'm selling horror-themed pops, the following weekend I might be at a sports con selling sports themes pops and t-shirts, and then the weekend after that I'm selling fantasy. So they're basically less just like retail. They have a lot of product and they sell it based on their audience. That's not a fantrepreneur. Fantrepreneur would be, I'm a fan of horror. I would have no, you know, possibly no purpose at a comic con because I'm going to be at the horror cons because I write horror or I craft horror or I create, you know, a scary, I do tours of scary places. So that's my fandom.
Yeah. Similar to me, I wouldn't go to a comic con, I guess. I mean, I would, it'd be fun. But I'm more likely to go to a scare con or a horror con with my podcast to spread that sort of fandom. So I totally get what you're saying. It's turning something that is your passion, something that you love, and it's basically just having a mindset to make that into your own success. And I'm guessing that's exactly what Business is Dead resurrecting entrepreneurship, that's there to help guide these people and give them the advice moving forwards.
Exactly. And it's not all inspirational. I give them warnings. I tell them what it's going to be like to launch this. I give them some watch outs. You know, if you say, you know what, I love going to Comic-Cons, I'm going to start working Comic-Cons. It's a different aspect. You know, it is not the same. And I talk about ensuring you have your family on board before you start one of these things, because ultimately it is a passion project. And if you do not have the support of your family, it's going to become a burden. You want this to be something that gives you joy and something that takes away. Look, we all have to deal with the BS of life and work. And this should be something that gives you stress release and fun and to look forward to. It shouldn't be a burden. This is not, again, like I said, something that you're doing because you're saying, I'm economically deprived. I am striving to put food on the table, so I'm going to start a fantrepreneurship. No.
That's going all backwards, isn't it? No, absolutely.
Exactly.
Definitely. Yeah. So if before you go, and I do appreciate you taking time out to join us here on ScareTrack, but if I have a listener now who wants, they're a mega fan of Dungeons & Dragons, or they're a mega fan of zombies like yourself, and if they were wanting to basically launch a business based on their fandom, I mean, I know what the number one thing they should do is buy your book, but what would be the second thing that they should do to sort of kickstart that new entrepreneurship?
I would say go to, if you've never been to a con, then go at least once. How I started mine was when I first came up with the idea of saying, I want to write a book, I, like I said, never had any preconceived notions to write a book. I wasn't an English major. I didn't say. So I went to a bunch of cons where I knew there would be a lot of writers. So not comic book cons, but we call them here small press expos or publishing events. And I met writers and I spoke to them about what they do, how they market, how they approach the craft, what successes they've had, what failures they have. They're all willing to talk, you know, and I just found out what it was going to be like. And it was not what I anticipated. And, you know, it's funny. You see a lot of TV shows like Castle or the movie Knives Out, and they show the author lives in some castle type house in the country, you know, and he's the famous author who lives, and he's a millionaire on a state, or he lives in this beautiful apartment in the middle of London or Manhattan. That is not reality.
No,
no one is doing that. This is not real, you know. So it is, you're sitting in the little tiny workspace that you can clear out of your house. And it's very isolating. It's very lonely. It's very frustrating. But it's kind of like pregnancy, you know. I'm one of the people, you hate the writing process, but then when it's done, holy cow! And you finally completed it, and you have your baby in your hand. Oh my God! I can't even tell you what it feels like. And it's like that with anything: painting, crafting, sculpting, creating a graphic novel, a comic book. Launching your first podcast, launching your first fan-based website, whatever it is, that end result makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the end result that makes it all worthwhile, just exactly what you said. Same here. Editing a podcast sometimes when there's sound issues and whatnot, you can think, oh, I cannot wait to get to the end of this. But once it's out there, once people are listening and commenting, it's just always worth it. And I'm guessing it's exactly the same with you and your books and any entrepreneurship, if those people are in it, like you said earlier, for the right reasons.
Exactly.
Definitely. Perfect. Well, I mean, Neil, I want to say a huge thank you for coming on to ScareTrack. I really do appreciate your time. In the show notes, I'm going to put all the links for Business is Dead and the Exit Zero trilogy so everyone can find out more and learn how to purchase these books. But if they wanted to contact you direct on your social media, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
And another tip for fantrepreneurs, find a unified social media tag. Mine is at Exit Zero Zombie. So at Twitter at Exit Zero Zombie, which I don't use that much, honestly, Instagram at Exit Zero Zombie, Facebook at Exit Zero Zombie, and they can email me at exitzerozombie@gmail.com. And it's spelled out Exit Zero Zombie. It's always good. Have a unified social media presence with one tagline. That's another tip for you.
Perfect. Excellent. So, guys, make sure you're on Twitter and Instagram now, searching Exit Zero Zombie. And like I say, if you want to find out more about the books and more about how to purchase the books, just click those links in the description below. Neil, like I say, I really, really do appreciate it. And I really hope that Business is Dead is a roaring success as well, along with the Exit Zero trilogy that's been going for the last 3 years now. Best of luck in the future. Please do keep in contact. And I look forward to what's next. For yourself and Business is Dead.
And I look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you so much for my UK friends.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Neil.
You're listening to
So there we go, guys. A huge thank you to Neil for taking time out to come on the Scare Trap podcast. Sincerely do appreciate it. What an awesome book. It sounds like Business is Dead. I mean, I think I need to read a copy myself because it seems to be very familiar with me. Scare Track was something, you know, I loved scare attractions and haunted houses, and I've made Scare Track into the passion that I love. Am I making money off it yet? I'm not quite broke even, but I'm getting there, slowly getting there. But it's for the passion, and whether it takes a year, 5 years, 10 years, you never know. If you stick hard at it, you can make something your own and make it your business. So yeah, definitely get a copy of that, guys. Business is Dead, Resurrection Entrepreneurship. And if you just want a really good zombie read, or just a good read, get the Exit Zero trilogy. You've got Exit Zero, Nuke Jersey, and Zombie Democracy. Check out all three. You know, Neil's a guy that knows what he's doing. He's not just a guy who's sat in his room writing all these books and not meeting anyone. He is out there. He's at these cons. He's at these conferences. He has basically listened to the people and seen how people can grow their passions into their businesses. And again, who doesn't love a good zombie story, guys? So again, thank you so much to Neil for coming on the Scare Trap podcast. Before we end this episode, a huge thank you to you guys for listening. As always, we sincerely do appreciate all the support you give us. You can support us any way you like, whether it be over on our social media pages. Just liking, sharing, and commenting really does help us out. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. Again, that's a leaf out of Neil's book. Just have one handle. One handle that works on all platforms. Perfect. So just search for Scare Track. You can get everything Scare Track related, whether it be Scare Track, Coaster Track, Scare Cam, our Patreon page, absolutely everything over on our website. Go to www.scaretrack.co.uk. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Neil, for coming on. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.